Committee on Education, Subcommittee on Education Innovation, Thursday, March 1, 2007. Now that I gaveled, today is Thursday, March 1st. We have just, 16 days till the Ides of March, and I don't know when March Madness starts this year. But,
today.
Well, no, I'm a basketball fan. College basketball. That's March Madness to me. But this is the House Education Committee on Education Innovation, and I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2675. We have several members that aren't able to be here today, but we definitely have a quorum. And so with that, let's see who we have to testify. Okay. Jessica Burley, will you come on forward and after we have a presentation about the bill from our committee staff? Well, you can come forward while we do this, Jessica. I'm doing it backwards, so it's not you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. You have before you the preliminary staff measure summary for House Bill 2675. The measure changes the date of a district's refusal to renew contract of a probationary teacher from April 1st to March 15th. It applies to contracts renewed on or after the effective date of the act. And this is to match other dates in statute, and I believe the witness will have more details on that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. And Jessica, you're here to present a bill, and I applaud your initiative on this. And do you have paper copies of your testimony?
I do not.
That's all right. That's all I wanted to know. Go ahead. Introduce yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jessica Burley. I'm the legislative assistant to Representative Chuck Burley, House District 54. House Bill 2675 was brought to Representative Burley's office by an assistant principal in the Ben Lapine School District who came across a statutory discrepancy in her advanced school law class with the University of Oregon. At the time, the class was discussing laws that contradict each other with regards to education. House Bill 2675 cleans up the language in ORS 342835 to reflect the same date in ORS 342513. The first statute stipulates that school boards must notify a probationary teacher if they do not intend to renew his or her contract by April 1st of any year. The second statute requires that school boards notify all teachers and administrators in its employ who are not contract teachers of their intentions of non-renewal by March 15th. The second statute refers to probationary teachers. So the question proposed to Representative Burley is, which is the correct date in statute? A decade ago, the legislature passed sweeping education reforms that included Senate Bill 880. Prior to Senate Bill 880, the date by which school boards were required to notify probationary teachers was April 1st. After the education legislation was passed, remnants of the old statute were not entirely deleted and were left with contradicting dates. LC confirmed that this discrepancy was indeed a technical mistake, and after speaking with the Oregon School Board Association and the superintendent from Ben Lapine Schools, we found that school boards currently use the March 15th date. Although April 1st could give school boards more time to notify their teachers, there was an issue with spring break and whether or not school boards could return and properly notify their teachers in time. Therefore, House Bill 2675 changes the date from April 1st to March 15th. The date that school districts use today. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jessica. Very well done. Representative Dahl, and Jessica, just know that Representative Dahl asks everybody questions, so don't feel like he's picking on you.
Okay.
I love you, John.
Jessica, can you tell me when tenured or permanent teachers are notified, their notification date?
I don't. And, Madam Chair, Representative Dahl, these two statutes, the first one, ORS 342835, applies directly to probationary teachers, and the second statute that I mentioned, ORS 342513, deals with all teachers and administrators who are not contract teachers. At the moment, I do not have the ORS statutes that deal with contract teachers.
We will be having testimony, and I'm going to refer back here to counsel. So I used to be in judiciary. Our committee administrator that we also have Oregon School Boards Association that, you know, is here, but we'll check on this date. Do you have some thoughts?
Madam Chair, just one clarification. When I was looking into this, in ORS 342.895 also references the March 15th date, which is under contract teachers procedure for dismissal or contract non-extension. So it appears that in most places except for this one, the March 15th date is used. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And the definition of a contract teacher is somebody that's not probationary.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
just want to let some people know, probationary and contract is somebody after they've met their probationary period of 3 years. Any other questions from the committee? Representative Wisnik?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Burley, thank you for bringing this. Could you please identify the assistant principal that has been picked up?
Madam Chair, Representative Wisnik, it's my mother, Linda Burley.
I want to get that in the record.
I didn't know if you'd
appreciate that.
I didn't know if you had influence with the board to make sure she's principal someday, but
we'll try.
Could this be referred to as the Burley Bill?
No, this is an astute educator learning the law.
Very good.
Okay, with no other questions, Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
And Mr. Jim Green, if you'll come forward and give us your thoughts.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jim Green representing the Oregon School Boards Association. I can't add much to what Jessica said. I do want to thank Jessica and Representative Burley for bringing this bill forward. It was a glitch that was passed 10 years ago when we did Senate Bill 880, which was sweeping changes to our collective bargaining law. Just didn't catch it. We thought about trying to clean it up each time and just didn't get around to it. We think it's a good thing. As I polled our school districts, and I went to our HR folks who do the bargaining for school districts, I asked them, any heartburn out there? And they said, no, the March 15th date is the date we use. It mirrors the other ones with contract teachers and non-contract teachers and administrators. So we're supportive of the bill. I've spoken with Beth Ann Darby from the Oregon Education Association, who I know is in the back of the room, and she's also told me that she's fine with the bill as it currently is written.
Thank you. Any questions? Well, thank you, Mr. Green. Well, and I think most of us that are here that really believe that if notice needs to be given, the sooner the better. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other questions for this public hearing at this time? Okay. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session. Thank you. Discussion.
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we move 2675 forward with due paths to the floor and put on the consent agenda.
Okay, thank you, but we're going to have to change that because we have to go to the full committee first.
Oh, that's right.
So could you...
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I make a motion that we pass this to the full education committee with due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Wisnik has made a motion to move House Bill 2675 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any questions or discussion?
Well, Madam Chair, I would just point out and echo your last comment in the public hearing, which is that this bill, I think, is very much in the interest of teachers. I understand that schools aren't following the April 1st deadline currently, but the sooner a teacher who's receiving notice has that notification, the better able they'll be to plan for the following year and their subsequent employment status. So I appreciate the Burleys as well for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments or discussion, would the committee administrator call the roll, please?
Representative Buckley. Representative
Cannon? Just aye. Buckley is excused.
Representative
Dolan?
Aye.
Representative
Hennett?
Excused.
Representative Wisnik? Aye.
Aye. Now what do I do?
Motion
carries. Thank you. First time we've moved one out of the committee. Thank you. We now need a carrier to the committee. And so I'm looking at...
I'll be glad to.
Representative Wisnik, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And our committee administrator will certainly let you know when we're going to bring this to the full committee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm now going to open a public hearing. Oh, thank you for everybody's patience. I'm closing the work session on 2675 and opening the public hearing on 2703. He's right there. Our committee administrator is being so efficient. If you'd kind of brief us on the bill. And take a deep breath.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2703 requires the Department of Education to advise guidance counselors on methods of information for high school students on all post-secondary educational and related training opportunities in the state, and it requires the department to employ at least one full-time equivalent employee to perform these duties. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Riley, if you'd come forward, and what I would share is that I was hoping to possibly do a public hearing and a work session today, but I think this is an important bill because several of our members aren't able to hear that. We will do the public hearing and, you know, go from there, see what questions we have. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Chair Comp, members of the committee. For the record, I'm State Representative Chuck Riley. I represent House District 29, which comprises the cities of Forest Grove, Cornelius, and Hillsborough. Thank you for allowing me the time to testify today. I'm here in support of House Bill 2703, a bipartisan effort I've actually spearheaded, which promises to increase awareness to the opportunities available to Oregon high school students looking towards the future. The bill will require, as the administrator said, the Department of Education to advise and train guidance counselors at the high school level, and helping them with a variety of tools and techniques, which will give them more ability to advise students on things other than four-year college. I'm going to deviate from my written testimony. As you all know, most of the advice given in high school is to which college you're going to go to. Make sure your grades are good enough to go to college. Now, that sort of thing. And we all know that only about 30% of our students then go on to a four-year degree. And we, in that way, pretty much make that other 70% feel like they've failed. And this is one of the things that I feel drives students away from this high school and makes them, you know, not feel that they're succeeding. And these other avenues, apprenticeships, junior college, careers that present themselves in other ways are just as important and just as fulfilling, and many of them pay just as much or more than those people who finished college. There are just a whole lot of opportunities, and this bill is designed to ensure that the guidance counselors and other people who advise students at the high school level of what their career opportunities are and what their future educational opportunities are have the tools and the information available and the guidance themselves to do a good job with this guidance of the students. I think it's really important, and I urge you to send this bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I'm happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Representative Riley. Thank you for bringing this to our consideration. Questions or considerations for Representative Riley from the committee? Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Riley, for bringing this to us and for your support of this. Have you done any analysis of what the financial impact would cost would be?
Chair Comp, Representative Wisnett. The financial analysis has not been done. It would have to come before we do before we go through Ways and Means, and I suspect it will have to go through Ways and Means. Does it have a referral to Ways and Means?
I don't think so, not this time.
Okay, well, in that case, they must think that it's a minimal. And possibly it's even absorbed in the current budget.
Yes,
Representative
Wisnett. Yes, Representative Riley, one full-time equivalent employee, is they're going to have to take it out of their hide or they're going to have to, you know, additional funding. So, you know, I support your concept and what you're trying to say, but this, is, I think, would be a significant cost, and it would be, have some way we could tell the, make it a requirement to the schools that they've included this within the counseling system they have, or, and I don't know if Aspire does some of this too, or is that part of this, which we're looking at funding with $4 million as part of the governor's recommended budget, which I hope I can support.
Chair Comp, Representative Wisnett. Any way that this can be accomplished. This bill was to start a conversation that I felt really needed to be started, and I felt that, you know, making a requirement, a bill with a requirement, actually causes it to happen. And if it takes a full-time equivalent to get this job done, so be it. It's a big department. I don't think that one FTE is that huge a dent in their budget. But if we can't make that happen, any way that we can make this happen is great with me.
Any questions, Representative Dahl?
Representative Riley, have you talked with the guidance counselors at the Hillsborough School?
Chair Comp, Representative Dallin. Yes, I have, not all of them. We have four high schools. I spoke to one of the counselors, and she agreed with me that quite often the information was not available that they needed, and that even though she was fully aware of some of these opportunities, it wasn't made a priority for her. And I believe that that's important, that it be made a priority that these students, other than college-bound students, have good counseling.
Thank you, Representative Riley.
Representative Riley, would you care to stay a little bit longer? Because we have some people here that represent the Oregon Department of Education that I think, I know I have a couple of questions about what we're currently doing with our practice, so to see, you know, what impact this would have.
Chair,
or do you need to go back to your other committee?
I am in the middle of a hearing in my own committee
right
at the moment, and I took time out to come. I wish I could stay,
okay,
but I really need to get back to that hearing, and I'd be glad to follow up with you and the committee later if you have any other questions you'd like for me. But I apologize.
That's
I do
fine.
Need to get back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Comp, committee.
Well, I don't think we can do it. It's just Pat Tremaine, would you mind coming up to the witness table, and I won't ask you any hard questions.
I'm sorry, June Tremaine.
June Tremaine. There it is. We'll get the name right. And seriously, if you could just give us an overview of what counselors, what their current training is on career exploration, and in particular in the trades and what I call good old-fashioned labor, that would help us. And you have to start out with your name and
okay,
all that good stuff. And welcome Morgan Allen as a liaison for the department.
And we brought a prepared statement, so... Yes, my name is June Tremaine, and I'm an education specialist with the department. Work specifically with guidance and counseling people across the state. The information that we prepared to share today describes a real shift in what school counseling used to be and what comprehensive school guidance and counseling is today. In the past, really, school counselors often dealt with a few students. They provided responsive services, sometimes worked in isolation from the whole educational program. With a comprehensive guidance and counseling program, the expectation is that school counselors will work with all educators, the administrators, teachers, to address each and every student's, and we say, academic, career, personal, social, and community involvement. So we are working very hard to implement comprehensive guidance and counseling programs. So the question that you asked specifically, what are guidance counselors prepared with information beyond just counseling and education through the college system? This is a concern to us that we want all students to have valid occupational educational information. So not just the counselor would provide it, but within the system we know that it is being provided through teachers, a full system.
Just to ask a clarifying question, June, it's my understanding that we have standards in place through our adopted Oregon standards that part of the curriculum is career information systems or career information about, you know, what are job skills that you need. Is that accurate or am I misguided in that?
Yes, Chair Kump, that is correct, that we do have those standards, and I think they were probably implemented in varying degrees of effectiveness, so it's our hope to be able to help people to be very consistent in what we're providing and to be ensured that every student is assisted with her career and academic development.
Thank you. Representative Dolan?
Yes, Judy, I'm going somewhere. How long have you been with the department?
Chair Cobb and Representative Dolan, I have been with the department almost 10 years now.
And in that 10 years, could you give us some feel for what has happened to the number of guidance counselors across the state?
Yes, Chair Kampf and Representative Dolan. I believe that we have lost counselors across the state. Districts are expected to provide a comprehensive guidance and counseling program, but that can be provided by, we hope for it to be led by licensed school counselors, but we expect students to be served whether or not there are counselors. And that's a challenge.
Yeah, you have no feel for the number. I know in my own school, the guidance counselor spent 3 years on the bubble. And I spent more time in his office telling him whether he was or he wasn't. So I had a feeling that across the state we have lost a number of guidance counselors, but you don't have any notion of what that number might be.
I'm sorry, I don't.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, just a clarifying comment. I believe, looking from the stats the Department of Education brought for the quality education model, that it has shrunk in the upwards of the hundreds, I believe, in the state over the last 15 years. Maybe the department could correct me if I'm mistaken.
Chair Kampf and Representative Dahlm, I can get that exact number for you, but it has been a significant decrease in the number of counselors across the state as districts have faced the budget crunch over the last post-Measure 5.
Mr. Allen, now that you talked, you have to...
Excuse me, Morgan, I'm a legislative liaison for the Department of Education.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Could I pursue another line? We have what's called the career information, I think it's Career Information Management System.
It's CIS.
CIS. And could you give us an overview? Some of us are playing inside baseball here, having been at school. But could you give us an overview of how that program, a Reader's Digest version of how it works?
Yes, Chair Kampf and Representative Dolan, the Oregon Career Information System, in my opinion, is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be district-wide. They have elementary, middle school, and high school materials. It focuses on the strengths of students so that they really look at their skills, knowledge, abilities, interests. We can talk even about their dreams and aspirations. And the system then with the CIS helps students explore. They talk about going through awareness, then exploration, and then preparation. So many, many of our districts do use CIS and value it a lot.
When a student does this interest inventory, pardon me, Madam Chair, follow up.
Yes, sir.
Are trades, vocations, community colleges, and colleges in the mix for education that they may want to pursue to achieve their dream?
And Chair Kampf and Representative Dolan, the information is there, and I think we must be very, very intentional in opening up all of the options. If I could add a personal opinion, I guess many of us in education have come through the education system, so that's what we're most familiar with. So we do make effort to try to expose educators, and particularly counselors, and other options so that they can provide the best information. Tools like the CIS and occupational information really are helpful in doing that.
Thank you very much.
Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Ming. I'm interested how many people the department has working on issues related to guidance and counseling. Are you alone in that, or is it a larger staff than just yourself?
Yes, Chair Kampf and Representative Cannon. I probably have the face on the work because by job description I am education specialist with guidance and counseling. But my associate superintendent, my director, directors of the other teams in our department really are aware and involved and supportive of the work.
Follow up. Your work, at least as you've described it here, has a lot to do with helping school districts implement their comprehensive guidance and counseling programs. And you describe that as I don't know if you used the word pilot, but you're working closely with several districts. Could you give us a sense of how many districts have adopted these plans, how many the department has assisted, and sort of how many, again, not exact numbers, but a sense of how many counselors have been touched by the department in your work.
Chair Kemp and Representative Cannon, I would like to explain a little bit more about that effort. The law has been, the administrative rules have been that every district has been expected to have a comprehensive guidance and counseling program in place. In 2002, when the school board was looking at school improvement and the importance of guidance and counseling, they said they really wanted these programs in place. So that allowed us the opportunity to bring together some of the counselor educators, counselor practitioners from across the state, and we created a framework that is for comprehensive guidance and counseling programs. That was adopted, and we were told to go forth and implement it. So to do this statewide, we said it would take districts really time to plan and design and then implement. So we made a commitment to work with lead districts who were ready to do the serious work of systemic change, to work with them for 3 years, and then the second year bring in more districts, and the next year more districts. If I may, I'll just read through the list, because our cohort A districts, they are now in their third year. And it's Colton, Forest Grove, Gresham, Barlow, Medford, North Marion, and Salem-Keizer. The second group, and these people are now just in their second year, so that means they would have spent last year looking at what they have and planning how to change. This year, they're expected to write a program, and that's Hillsborough, Jefferson, Jefferson County, Oregon Trail, Redmond, Reynolds, and Sisters. The next group of cohorts, and these people are just in their first year right now, which means that they're evaluating what they have and are really planning systems change to how they can implement this, is Ashland, Beaverton, Canby, Eagle Point, LeGrand, Oregon School for the Deaf, Sherwood, and Winston-Dillard. And what we're finding is that this really is a shift in thinking, that counselors are at the table as full members of the educational program, that comprehensive guidance has got to be integral to the whole educational program. So it is big work, and it's systems work. And we're now into the third year of it.
Just one follow-up to that. That leaks maybe 160, I wasn't counting, but 170 school districts in the state. And what's the status of their plans? Have they developed one? Will they be slated for additional, will they be slated for implementation assistance from the department over time?
Yes, Chair Kemp and Representative Cannon, that is definitely our intention. As we've worked with these leading cohorts, it was our intention to learn how a district goes about doing this. We know that it's going to be different in every district because they have to have a program that addresses their students and their community. So working together, we're learning things that they're doing as lessons learned, and we would recommend to other districts. We're learning things that they're trying, and we would say maybe that's not the best thing to try. Do it another way. So we're really learning from all that they're doing content and process-wise to share.
Thank you.
Just one last kind of one tough question, June, and that is, if we took this bill and moved it forward with the fiscal of adding another staff member, not trying to pull from some other department in the organization, how would that support moving these other districts, or would it, I mean, tell us if this would help you or benefit you or not.
Chair Kemp and other committee members, and again, this would just be my personal opinion from
Absolutely.
My experience
mm-hmm.
working with them. I think it would be very helpful to emphasize that we do think that all students need to have all the information possible
right.
to open up opportunity. We're learning things that they're trying, and we would say maybe that's not the best thing to try. Do it another way. So we're really learning from all that they're doing content and process-wise to share.
Thank you.
Just one last kind of one tough question, June, and that is, if we took this bill and moved it forward with the fiscal of adding another staff member, not trying to pull from some other department in your in the organization. How would that support moving these other districts, or would it? I mean, tell us if this would help you or benefit you or not.
Chair Comp and other committee members. And again, this would just be my personal opinion from
Absolutely.
My experience
mm-hmm.
working with them. I think it would be very helpful to emphasize that we do think that all students need to have all the information possible
right.
to open up opportunities. That is our full intent with this, to focus all of our work on helping students and opening up options for them. So
mm-hmm.
the intent of it is certainly in line with what we're trying to do.
Right. Because it really does, as members have presented it, you know, it does create a fiscal, you know, impact if indeed we want to, you know, increase the staff for your department. So, and the only other comment I'd make for on the record as a previous principal in a middle school is the fact that we had one counselor for 550 students, and I got her fully trained, and she said, I can't do this anymore, and she went to Warrington in a much smaller school to do the same services, you know, in a school of 200 to 300 compared to almost 600, because to do what we want them to accomplish is just as an impossible task for them as it is for your department.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Follow up on Representative Cannon and the Chair's comments. Mrs. Tremaine, excuse me. 2003, I sat in an education committee during the interim and found out that the Department of Education only had half a person dedicated to TAG. We're in now 2007, and I'm not sure that the Department of Education has changed that. Now, what you're telling us, in answer to Representative Cannon's comment, you're the main person in charge of counselors, but each math, science, and everyone else, and I don't understand what they're doing with counselors. How many people does ODE have dedicated to putting forth this program? And then I go back and ask again, the governor's asked us to support Aspire before $1 million. I understand that comes under the Oregon Student Association, but how could you interface, or how could we, you know, is there going to be duplication here? How do we use them? Because they're saying, and the governor's endorsing this, and I guess I endorsed it, that high school counselors in Oregon no longer have adequate resources to provide students with resources to become contributing citizens after high school. So.
Chair Compton, Representative Wisnett, Swam Noor, who's our assistant superintendent for EII, I think would be best equipped to answer that question. So.
Now, somebody that did not know an acronym 2 months ago, you just used one, Mr. McAllen.
Yeah, sorry.
And who is that? What?
Educational Improvement Instruction.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Salam Noor, Department of Education. And I think June has done a wonderful job answering questions relative to the substantive aspect of the program mm-hmm. and the content-related information. I will offer some information relative to the budgetary and fiscal implications associated with this. And what June did not share with you is that she really is the sole person that's leading this whole effort statewide. And I've been at the department for 10 years as well, and as a result of budget cuts that affected schools and districts throughout the state, similar impacts were felt at the state level. I recall we used to have three people that did counseling and guidance at the state level. And as a result of budget cuts and diminishing resources, we're having to rely on one person and try to distribute some of the responsibility to other staff members as the content area specialists, regional liaisons, etc. But we all know if you don't have a specific person that's tagged with that responsibility to provide leadership for it and advocacy and support, it's not going to be equally shouldered by everybody involved. So we would welcome the opportunity to have additional staff and resources to support this effort statewide, and that makes a very powerful statement to counselors out there that the legislature and the state values this effort, values this role, and is willing to invest in it. I can't speak specifically to the Aspire. I don't have the bill in front of me, but it does. The intent of it is to provide to expand the opportunities and options that are available to high school students or students in general relative to everything post high school, if you will.
Representative
Dahl. So what do the other disciplines have for content specialists, math, science, social studies? How many people staff those disciplines?
Chair Kong, Representative Dalam. We have the equivalent of a full FTE for the content area. So we have one specialist for math, one specialist for language arts, social studies, health. Actually, we do not have a health specialist, unfortunately. We would love to get one. And PE and second languages. But as a result of diminishing resources, many of these specialists end up wearing a lot of hats. For example, our social studies specialist is also the TAG specialist. Mm-hmm. She's also the advanced placement and college prep program specialist, and is involved in a variety of other activities. That's really what we're having to do with our resources. We're having to become very creative and very efficient in terms of how we use our staff. And we're fortunate to have talented staff that can juggle many things. Our math specialist, for example, has been very actively involved in the research and the support for the new diploma requirements and the work that we're doing with the board. So we do have technically an FTE for these different positions, but I will share with you that they end up doing many other things.
Thank you.
I was waiting for your reflective moment.
I'm wondering, I talked with Salam at the end of a meeting in a different committee. I regret to tell you I don't know anything, but I'm very willing to get in there and muck around. So I'm trying to pose a question that would say, would you be better served if I gave you an FTE and you could assign it as you and the department saw fit? And that's what I was reflecting on. Would that be a better solution for you?
Chair Kong, Representative Dalam, I'll answer that in a couple of ways. In a general sense, yes, because it will allow me to use the FTE and the resources based on what we know there is a greater need for statewide. And it may be counseling, it may be health. It depends on what the state currently needs based on what districts and schools are telling us. But if the legislature's intent is to increase support and capacity for a specific area, then I would suggest that you tell us specifically how you wish to have that position and the resources allocated. Because we want to make sure that we fulfill your desires and your goal for this position and the resources.
Thank you.
Now, Representative Dalam, I'd say if you have that magic wand to do that so we could get it through Ways and Means, I'd appreciate if you'd pull it out. But Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd just like to comment on what you just said, that the legislature gives ODE amount of money to run the operation. Unless we put a budget note saying specifically you will spend some of this money for an FTE, which we've not done, we did not do last year, I don't think there was any. So we give them the amount of money to run the Department of Education.
And the only other side comment, with the amount of funds that through our economic lack of, our lean years, everybody had to cut. I mean, I know Representative Dalam did that in his
pretty painful.
Yeah, his district, we've all seen very, very good programs be slashed because of economic times. But, we wish we all had that magic wand. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you so much for being here and providing us with some great information. And what I would share is that since we have three members that are absent today, and I'll be looking for our committee staff to kind of set a plan in motion how we should bring this back so everybody gets the information and before we do a work session. Yes, sir.
Because if we do go to a work session, I think we need to know, in the school, it's again, where do you put the resources? You want them in the school, because if you don't have anyone in the school, there's no use in having guidance at the headquarters coming to the schools if you don't have anyone to do it. So we need to really know what we're looking at within the system before we look at putting more people to tell you to mandate and do things if you don't have it. Well, you should both know that in the school system. So I think we need some maybe numbers or facts of how many counselors we're doing and how schools are doing. And I'm a supporter of this. I think it's important to have guidance for students to plan their future. I think it's important.
Well, my concern is what Representative Cannon brought forward was, how many schools are being able to get additional support to start moving this comprehensive agenda. I do know from having new young counselors trained, they're trained in this model, but, they have a much deeper, extensive, challenging, rigorous curriculum than even we do as administrators almost anymore to meet all the requirements for the counseling program. It's I mean, seriously, I mentored a young woman through this, and I just was astounded at all their requirements. So,
is it individualized, Madam Chair? Is it individualized through computers, and you answer questions, and they give you answers, or is it?
Some of it can be use of technology, but it still is making sure there's time in the curriculum to make it be meaningful. It's like anything else. If you just have them do, an activity on the computer, unless it's, he had the pre-lesson and you have some communication with parents or something afterwards.
But there is programs out there that will help do this and
yes,
help the student.
There is technology out there that's very, very, I mean, it's top-notch stuff. But, it's how to fit all these wants into our curriculum, but this is a very important one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments before
one comment. I, when I think about guidance counselors, and I was blessed with one that was outstanding. And I talked to you, one of the things that CIS won't do is say to somebody, you can't do this. And fortunately, we don't hire any guidance counselors that look at a student and say, you can't do this. So all of our students set their goals often beyond their reach, which is where we want them to set them. But that means we're going to counsel a lot of kids to head off to college and end up with 30% of them there.
Are you saying that we need to emphasize on their strengths and make sure they know what they are?
Something like that, yeah.
Thank you, Representative.
And I'm sorry, my comment would be that I think a lot of the counseling that takes place in schools in reality, especially given the shrinkage of guidance counselor, comes from other adults in the school, teachers, classified staff, other administrators, and that we should be, and the department should be, mindful of ways to expose them to the kinds of post-secondary opportunities that Representative Riley and others would encourage us to remind our guidance counselors to be instilling. And I know, speaking as a teacher who came through the education system, went to college, and similarly with my wife, where we feel often ill-prepared to effectively counsel students about non-college-bound options. It's a real and serious problem. We should look to answer that problem not just at our guidance counseling system, but to other school professionals.
And the last comment I'll make on that, we just heard testimony on Tuesday about the importance of staff development for particularly our classified people. The staff in our building, at my building, middle school, that helped students guide them about career options and thinking about the future were our educational assistants. They had a little bit of extra time, whether it's even at lunchtime when they're doing supervision. Frequently, I'd have a couple of educational assistants talking to students on the playground about, exactly what are they doing well and how, what classes. And, they are a wealth to a district if they're, allowed a little bit of space to use it. So, but you're right, Representative Canna. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2703. And I just have one thing to for the good of the order. I've been working with Representative Dahl about House Bill 2037, which is our bill on virtual schools. And I asked he and Representative Cannon if they would form a work group. I have a statement for you and for the committee administrator and for other members that would look at the House Bill 2037, and the current bill is written that removes restrictions on public charter schools offering online courses in which 50% or more students in school must reside where the school district is located. We had public hearing on this, and what I would ask that if interested parties would contact Representative Dahlem or Representative Cannon with suggestions how we can make virtual schools an opportunity for students, whether it's to tag students, whether it's students that need a different type of learning environment. I'm particularly interested in virtual coursework for students that want to increase their literacy. It's a major it's a priority for a lot of us, and I believe that technology has a real purposeful spot in this. The other thing that we are challenged with in districts such as Woodburn, I just read an article where McKay High School has students that speak 20 different languages. we have an opportunity to have courses. If you have calculus in high school, the advantage of somebody learning that calculus from somebody that's speaking in Spanish or Japanese or Russian, the ability for the student to learn at a much higher level of cognitive abilities is profound. I believe that this is worthy some research, and see if there's some suggestions that we might come forward with that the committee could support. And if nothing else, how about in 3 weeks, come back and say, what have you learned, and if we should do something better or leave it as it is. Is that okay, Representative Dolan? Are you up to the challenge?
I thank you for the challenge.
I
don't know whether I'm up to it or not, but I'm anxiously anticipating looking into it.
Representative Kent?
Likewise, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Well, and what I see, we have two incredible educators here, and
I
believe that they can at least shed some light on this subject.
Okay. Thank you. We will take it on.
And what Brad asked of Representative Dahlem is for your past history of leadership in previous sessions and how you can get possibly the information out to interested people and how you want to form this work group. And then also, and I hadn't talked to committee staff, but I have a suggestion for somebody to come and help take notes so it wouldn't involve committee having to organize their schedule in order to support the work group.
Perhaps Representative Cannon and myself can set a schedule and then get with Derek, and if he knows how we're going to staff our committee, we'll set up a schedule and get running right as soon as we both can.
Okay, that would be my wish, and I'll work with you, Derek. I do have a thought for somebody to help take notes and keep us all informed. Any other thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. One thought on this. My understanding from Rick Verkovian, and I'll make sure we keep him in the loop since he's normally with this subcommittee, is that it won't be technically a committee, it will be a work group, correct?
It is not a committee, which means that there will not be public notices. It is a work group, and it is only two members, so we don't have to deal with issues of quorum, but it does not fall under the normal public hearings law.
And then one other point, just to clarify, you may or may not be aware, Representative Dahlem, Representative Cannon, there are two Senate bills that deal with the same issue, one somewhat similar to 2037, one taking the opposite tack of increasing the percent residency requirement. So just to let you know, I can get you those bill numbers. I have not reviewed them yet. They've not been worked yet in the Senate Education Committee, but just to let you know that there's a couple of things out there that the Senate side might possibly work on. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, and thank you for that very thoughtful reminder that, as always, it's important that we communicate with our colleagues in the Senate so if they have thoughts so that we could get on the same page at the same time. It would be wonderful. So, questions? It's called Let's Go Exploring.
I have a ton of questions, but I don't think we have time.
I don't think any of us do, but, you know, John F. Kennedy is a role model of mine, and he said, well, we're going to go to the moon, and, you know, until we set a target, we can't figure out a plan. So let's take our students to the moon. With that, I'm going to adjourn this committee today. Thank you.